Let's pray. Father, we just thank you and we just ask you just guide me tonight, Lord. Let me be a blessing to the brethren. Let me just guide the words of my mouth, Lord, and just allow the words to just, you know, just bless tonight, Lord. We just thank you for that. Well, hello, saints. Tonight, I'd like to share about, I've been reading in the Word, and I've been seeing in the Bible a common topic throughout the Word, making reference to the journey, which is the walk, you know, the race, the course, the way, the path, and it leads to a gate, it leads to a land, it leads to a city. Let us study this journey and see where this path leads. The journey starts in Egypt for most in bondage, but a lot are born on the side of the road, following their parents' footsteps. They have not experienced the whips of the Egyptians, only some stories, and told to go to the temple weekly, become a member, support the temple, listen to our priests, our prophets, the Pharisees and Sadducees of the temple leadership. They will lead you. They will show you the course. They know the path. Follow them. And when you die, or tribulation comes, you will enter the promised land. Enjoy the Egyptian culture. Watch the Egyptian plays. Watch the Egyptian news. Read the Egyptian books. Go to the Egyptian schools. Listen to the Egyptian music. Have Egyptian toys. Play Egyptian games. Be entertained by the Egyptians. When you're in the Egyptian culture and the only god you get is going to the temple on the Sabbath, following the traditions of man, being put under the law, tied to a brick and mortar temple, you are in bondage and don't even know it. Look around. Where are you really? Are you on the right path? There are temples on every corner. Why are you in the temple you're in? You like the priests? The people are sociable? You have family and friends there? The message makes you feel good. You like the music? You like the building or the padded seats? Or you've decided this is the corporate franchise that serves up God the way you like it. So if it makes you feel good, this must be where God wants you. My question to you, are you being led of God or by man? Are you being led by religion or by feelings and emotions? What is leading you? Where are you being led? And who and what is really leading you? Is it really God? Or is it you? You must leave Egypt to get to the promised land. You have to journey to get there. There is a path that leads there. Your journey is now. You enter the promised land now, while you are alive. Your journey, your walk, your race is now. You must get on the path, the right path, that leads to the gate. Not when you are dead. You can't walk when you are dead. You must go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. The Israelites went to the wilderness. Jesus went to the wilderness. Why would we not have to go to the wilderness? Matthew 7:14. For narrow is the gate, and straight the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. Let's talk about this straight way, this journey, this path. This is all through the Bible that leads to eternal life, and why few find it. Let's go to Psalms 119 and 1. Blessed are they that are perfect in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And that law is the Word. Blessed means how happy are they that are perfect, which is undefiled, meaning not defiled, not unclean or impure. How do we get defiled? We are defiled by what we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we believe. We can contaminate ourselves or be violated through man or our ignorance, through the books we read, the movies we watch, the music we listen to, the games we play, and the people we are associated with and listen to. That is how we get defiled. It says perfect in the way, which means along the way, your journey, your course of life, the pathway, the highway. It says who walks. If you're going to walk, you first need to depart or leave where you are, then move forward. It is a continual motion in a direction. If you stop moving, you are not walking. You need to have a destination, or you are just wandering. You can run, or you can crawl. It is your decision. You just need to keep moving forward. If you do not know how to get there, it is best to follow someone who has been there. If you are following someone who has never been there and was told by someone else who has never been there how to get there, you will spend most of your time lost and probably not enter your destination. Walking is exercising self, putting self in submission. Self would rather lay around and just feed its flesh. Walking gets rid of flesh. Running gets rid of flesh faster. It's healthy for the body, healthy for the heart, healthy for the soul. It builds strength and stamina for your journey and has eternal benefits if you reach God's destination. In verse 2 it says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. The Bible is his testimony. It bears witness to what God can do. It testifies to his promises. That's the promised land. It gives evidence of what he has done. It is the direction, the map for your journey. You just have to believe. Are you going to believe the witness or call it a false witness? It's up to you. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. Search out his truth with diligence. Research his word. Seek him. Inquire and ask God for knowledge and wisdom. He lives in the promised land. He knows how to get there. He will not lead you astray. Man can lead you astray. Verse 3 says, yea, that do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. You need to walk in his path, following him, walking in what you know at the time of your journey. You will be strengthened and grow along the way if you seek him with your whole heart. James 4:17 says, "To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doth it not, to him it is sin." If God gives you knowledge that you are walking unpleasing to his word, you are getting off his path. All you have to do is repent, meaning change your way and get back on the path. Just stay on that path. Verse 4 says, "Thou hast commanded us thy precepts." Precepts is his direction, given as a rule to abide by. How are we going to act or conduct ourselves on the journey? It says that we should observe, and that's to guard like a prison guard and protect them diligently. "Oh, that my ways were established to observe thy statutes." The statutes are his document, his word. 6 says, "Then I shall not be put to shame." If you are obedient to the word, you will not be put to shame. The ultimate shame is not reaching the land that God has promised. That's the shame. It says, "Then shall I not be put to shame when I have respect unto all thy commandments." A commandment is direction given by one in authority. God is giving you direction or a map on how to get to his destination. You must follow them all. You cannot pick and choose. You cannot say, "I like this path along the beach, but I don't want to go over the mountain, so I'll just stay at the beach." If God tells you to go over the mountain and you stay at the beach, you will not reach his destination. Verse 7 says, "I will give thanks unto thee with uprightness of heart when I learn thy righteous judgments." His word gives us the rules for the race so we can follow them and not be disqualified. We also need to learn to judge righteous. As we judge, so will we be judged. Let God be the judge. He is the only judge in this race. Verse 8 says, "I will observe thy statutes." Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This is how you get rid of the defilement and become clean. You must be clean when you reach God's destination. You must run a clean race or you will be disqualified. If you want to be clean, pay attention to his word. The race requires eating the whole lamb. The Israelites, before their journey, were told to eat the whole lamb. This represents the Word, the Bible. This gives you strength and direction on your journey. Read it and believe it. This is where most people fail. This is where I got tripped up. I started reading, believing what I was reading. Started to walk in faith. I was being healed. I was being delivered of demons. I was seeing prayers answered. I was seeing miracles. And I was a baby Christian. And I was just growing in Christ. Then I went into the temple. Started listening to man, the Pharisees and Sadducees and false prophets. I quit reading my Bible daily, because the priest was reading and interpreting it for me. I was not seeking truth with the whole heart. There was no diligence. I was not walking. I was sitting, listening to a man's interpretation of God's word, based on his needs, his wants, his desires to build a temple for himself, not my temple. I became stagnant, empty, and dried up. If you are not eating the Lamb daily, you are not walking in His ways. You are not walking in your, you are walking in your ways. What is distracting your walk? What is causing you to stumble? Get rid of it. You will not get to the destination without eating the whole lamb and eating it daily. John 6:53 says, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and that flesh represents, in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So eating the flesh is eating the Word. It says, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. And in Leviticus 17, the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's His life. So if you don't eat the flesh and drink His blood, you have not life in yourselves. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. What he's saying there, it's the real thing. It's the real meat, the real drink. It's not milk. Babies drink milk. You need to eat the meat and drink the blood indeed. Verse 56 says, He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. If you want to dwell in Christ, if you want Christ to dwell in you, eat the lamb. If you do not eat the whole lamb and continue to eat it, you have no life in yourself. That's Jesus's, His nature, His character, His authority, eternal life. 1 John 2:6 says, He that saith he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Jesus has been to the promised land. He will guide you. Follow him. John 8:12 says, And Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He's saying, follow Jesus. He is the light. 1 John 1:7, But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light He gives you, at the part of the path, fellowshipping with Him, walking in the light you have at the time. He wants you to walk in faith. We are accounted as righteous by faith, perfect in the way, and that's by faith. Psalms 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He's saying that the Word shows us the path and how to get to the promised land. You have to walk through darkness if you're going to be continually moving. It's like following someone with a flashlight on a path in the dark. If you lag behind, you're eventually not going to see the path, and you will stumble and fall. I encourage you, press into Jesus and pay attention. John 11:9, If a man walketh in the day, which is light, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. He's seeing Jesus. We need to walk after the Son, God's Son, towards the Son, the light, with the Son in our face, fellowshipping with Jesus. If we turn around, we see our shadow, our darkness, where we have been, not where we are going, not to the promise. The enemy is always trying to get us to turn around, to look at our past, look at ourself, look at the situations, how we feel, how others treat us. This gets our focus off of Jesus, who is leading us. And we get led into darkness if we lose focus. John 12 and 35 says, "Walk while you have the light, that darkness overtake you not. And he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not where he goes." What he's saying there, we're no longer in darkness if we walk after the light. And in Ephesians 5 and 8, "For ye were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And John 12 and 36 says, "While ye have the light, believe on the light, that ye may become sons of light." He's saying there, if you believe the Word made light, you may become sons of light, following after Jesus. Proverbs 4 and 18, "But the path of the righteous," and that path also means the race of the just, or the lawful, those who are following the Word. "But the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." The perfect day is bright and clear. It's a bright shining light. That's the sun. It gets brighter and brighter until noonday. At noonday, there's no shadows. There's no darkness. You look straight up at the sun. You do not see the world, and Christ is shining through you. You're abiding in Him, and He is abiding in you. And that's the whole goal. Verse 19 says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness." And that shows you right there, the wicked have their own way. They have their own path. It's the subway. It's in the dirt of the world, underground and hidden. That's the wicked way. It says that they know not at what they stumble. "My son, attend to my word." So he is talking to his sons, not servants, saying, "Read, give heed to my word." It says, "Incline thy ear unto my sayings," which is pay attention to what I am showing you. Verse 21 says, "Let them not depart from thy eyes." Don't let it depart. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Read it daily. Read the word daily. He says, "Keep them in the midst of thy heart." And that's in the innermost of your understanding. If you continue to read the word, it will become in the innermost of your understanding. Verse 22 says, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." You have to be looking in the Word and able to find life, healing, and deliverance. The truth sets you free. You can be healed and delivered from the lies of the enemy by reading the Word and standing on the truth. In verse 23 it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it," meaning your heart, "are the issues of life. Put away from thee a wayward mouth." and perverse lips put far from thee. And the wayward mouth is talking, you know, contrary to the word. Matthew 15 and 18, but the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, railings. These are the things which defile the man. And Proverbs 4 and 25, let thy eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. He's saying, looking forward at Jesus leading you, stay focused in front of you. Verse 26 says, make level the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. He's saying there, you have the ability to prepare your course by reading and believing the word. Let your way be prepared. Let your way be perfected. You can do that by believing the word. Verse 27 says, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. He's saying, turn away from evil. It is on both sides of the path. It is all around you. Stay on the path, and you will be protected. Proverbs 2 and 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, he's saying to accept them, hoard and protect his word. And verse 2 says, so as to incline thy ear unto wisdom. He's saying, pay attention, listen to what I'm telling you, not to what man is telling you. I have wisdom. Romans 3 and 4 says, let God be found true, but every man a liar. So you need to be led of the word and not led of man. Verse 2 goes on to say, so as to incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. You have to stretch your mind. Believe, and he will give you understanding. Verse 3 says, yea, if thy cry after discernment, and lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seek her as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures. Right there, if you call aloud and seek God's word as something valuable, as a hidden treasure, is how you should seek the word. Verse 5 says, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord is the key to the gate. It keeps you on the right path. If you lose it along the way, you're going to have to go back and find it. If you do not have it, you may become complacent where you are at. You might lose hope and not finish the race. Ask for it and protect it. The fear of the Lord is the key. Verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. True wisdom is from God and his word, not man and his books. God's wisdom is free for the asking. You do not have to go to Bible college. That's man, and that costs money. God's wisdom is free. James 1 and 5, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who giveth to all liberally and unabridgeth not, and it shall be given him. He's saying he gives knowledge to all bountifully, and he will not scold you for lack of knowledge, but you will need to be a learner and a follower and have enough knowledge not to be led astray to enter the gate. Just ask, it shall be given. Proverbs 2:7. He layeth up wisdom for the upright, a shield to them that walk in integrity. You need to be upright to walk. Upright is from completeness. Walking in completeness. You are complete. You are perfected in Christ. You have to be upright to walk or run in His way. Crawling is for children that have not learned to walk. Children that are still on breast milk of their mother. You need to be weaned. You need to be mature. Start eating the meat indeed, and drinking the blood indeed. The weaning is part of sanctification. Verse 8 says that he may guard the paths of justice. He's saying that God will protect your path if you abide in the Word. The verdict that will come down and your sentence will be based on your fruit brought forth along the way. It goes on to say that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. Saints are sanctified ones, set apart from worldly influences, set apart from the sin nature, set apart from the lusts of the flesh, and set apart from false religion. Paul addressed the church in Colossians 1:2 and says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. There is a difference from a saint and a faithful brethren. You can be faithful and not set apart, not sanctified. Are you just a faithful brethren, or are you on the path of becoming a saint? Ask yourself. Verse 9 says, then shalt thou understand righteousness and justice and equity, yea, every good path. He's shown you this is the good path. Equity means straightness. Things that are right or righteous, the straight way, the good path. Mark 1:3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ye ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. For wisdom shall enter into thy heart, and knowledge shall be pleasing unto the soul. Wisdom and knowledge will transform your mind, change your will, change your emotions, and be pleasant unto your soul. Your soul is what enters the promised land. The battle is over the soul. It is going to spend eternity in glory or eternity in the pit. It's about the soul. Verse 11. Discretion shall watch over thee. Understanding shall keep thee. He's saying having spiritual discernment, making good judgments, having understanding will protect you along the way. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. Man, that's pretty serious. If you do not read the Word and get the knowledge of God, not man, because you can be destroyed and rejected of God. You need His knowledge. It goes on to say, understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee from the way of evil. Well, it looks like evil's got its path too. And knowledge of the Word will rescue or save you from going down the wrong path. Some are on a crooked path and think they are on the straight path. They do not know it because they do not have understanding. They are being led of man, thinking it is God. It goes on to say, to deliver thee from the way of evil, from the men that speak perverse things, who forsake the path of the uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the perseverance of evil, who are crooked in their ways, and wayward in their paths. This is showing you that this is knowing the Word so well that it will protect you from the men that are teaching false or contrary doctrines about the Bible. This is not men in the streets. This is men in the pulpit. They are distorted or crooked in their way. Not God's way, it's their way. They are wayward and have turned aside and departed from the path. They are not even on the path and are teaching people the way of God. In Psalms 125, 4, do good, O Lord, unto those that are good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. But as for such as turn aside unto the crooked ways, the Lord will lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. He's showing us right there, if you turn aside to your crooked ways, the Lord will send workers of iniquity to lead you. How do you know you are not following a worker of iniquity? How do you know what you are being taught even lines up with all the Word? How do you know you're not being deceived? I was in deception and didn't know it until I started to study all the Word. Psalms 119 and 160 says, the sum of thy word is true, and every one of thy righteous ordinances forever. It says the sum. You have to add it all up. You cannot pick scriptures that support what you believe and throw out what you do not believe. You have to add them all up, the sum. That is what man will do and religion will do, is pick out some scriptures and build a doctrine around it. Take a little truth out here and add a little leaven to puff it up so it is soft and easy to chew. So they add and take away from the Word. If you do not study the Word, you believe it because you have no understanding or knowledge. You could be on a path of destruction and not even know it. Are you being told the Word, or are you reading it for yourselves? Revelation 22 and 18. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add on to them, God shall add on to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. Wow. The tree of life, the holy city, isn't that where we are trying to get to? What are we believing? Is it the truth? Has it been leavened? Let's go to Proverbs 2 and 15. Who are crooked in their ways and wayward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman. Throughout the word, woman is a type of church, the harlot, to rescue you from the unusual or peculiar church, a peculiar woman. It goes on to say, even from the foreigner that flattereth with her words, that forsaketh the friend of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither do they attain unto the paths of life. The church is full of flattery, ear-tickling doctrines, and has abandoned her friend Jesus. They say Jesus, but preaching a peculiar Jesus, forgetting her commitment with God. Her temple sinks unto death, and her path unto the spiritual dead, and them that continue with her are lost forever, and neither reach the path of life. That's pretty serious. It goes on, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the path of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land. And they're talking about the promised land right there. And the perfect shall remain in it. Perfect means sanctified one, without spot or blemish. You need to be perfected to remain in the land. Verse 22 says, but the wicked shall be cut off from the land. And the wicked is a representation of the ungodly. And it goes on to say, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. The treacherous are the unfaithful. So the ungodly and the unfaithful shall be cut off and plucked out of the promised land. Could you be going to a church and be ungodly? It depends on what God you are following. Man's God, what they call God, the molten calf. In Exodus 32 and 3, and all the people break off the gold rings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and he received it at their hand, and fashioned it with a graven tool, and made it a molten calf. And they said, these are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Wow. They brought their gold or their money and gave it to one of the leaders of the congregation and made an idol. They called it their God and gave this idol credit for getting them out of Egypt. I ask, could you be following a molten calf, an image of Jesus that man created, another Jesus? Or are you following the God of the Bible, the creator of the universe and his son, Jesus? If you are being told who Jesus is by man and not searching it out yourself. It's molten. You need to read and believe God's word and who Jesus is. If you do not believe all of God's word, the sum of thy word, if you pick and choose what you want to believe, you are considered an unbeliever and will be plucked out of the land. This is what the word says. This is not an opinion. This is the Bible. He is warning the people who have the Bible, not the lost of the world that do not have the Bible. If we have a Bible, we are responsible to read it, believe it, and follow it. If we find we are listening to men that are teaching a perverse gospel or fellowshipping amongst strange women, it is our responsibility to be sanctified, meaning set apart from the world and the things that defile us, including false religion that is flattering you with a molten Jesus. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that sort of sounds like John 6 and 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abides in me, and I in him. He wants to dwell and walk in us. We are the temple. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. Know ye not that ye are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroyeth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, and such are ye. For you. He's saying the temple is holy. That's pure. That's consecrated. Morally blameless. It means saint or sanctified, set apart, and such are you. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. And what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God. He keeps showing us that. Even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and ye shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There is no compatibility with the temple of God and man made molten idols. We are the temple of the living God, not the brick and mortar temple. He dwells and walks in us, not a building. Come out from among them. Be separate. That means sanctified from the apostate, molten religious system. You cannot drag your brick and mortar temple into the wilderness. Once you are weaned off your mother's milk, you can stand on your own feet and have learned to take a few steps. It's time to climb out of the crib that is restraining you. That's religion. And start your journey through the wilderness. That is where you are going to meet God, and He will receive you and walk in you. he will be to you a father, and you shall be to him sons and daughters. It is your wilderness experience. It's not in Egypt. It's not in the temple. It's not in the streets of Babylon. It's in the wilderness. This is where you are going to be tempted, tried, tested, tribulated, persecuted, and chastened. You must go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. Deuteronomy 8 and 2, "And thou shalt remember all thy way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live." The Israelites did not fly from Egypt to the promised land. They had to walk it out. They had to walk through the wilderness. They were all God's people. They were saved before they left Egypt. They were all of one camp, one congregation. They were all under the leadership of Moses. God met them in the wilderness. He guided them, provided for them. He provided water out of a rock and manna out of heaven. He healed them, delivered and protected them. He even gave them his word written on a stone in case they forgot what he told them. The wilderness brought out what was unpleasing to God in his people. It was to humble and prove them worthy. And few made it to the promised land. The ungodly and unbelieving people of God fell. They listened to false prophets, men speaking perverse things. They followed molten images and called them God. They murmured. They complained. They fell in the wilderness. They were lost forever and never reached the path of life that led them into the promised land. They were deceived by Broadway. Matthew 7 and 13. "Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are raving wolves. By their fruits ye shall know them." Wow. He's saying narrow is the great gate, straight the way. Few are they that find life. You need to be on the straight path that leads to the narrow gate. Hebrews 12 and 13. "And make straight paths for your feet, that which is lame be not turned out of the way, but rather be healed." When you are following Jesus on the straight path, if you are limping or lame, you will not be cast out of the way into the ditch of the world. He will heal you. He will provide for you. Verse 14 says, "Follow after peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. He's saying, pay attention to this. This is the sum of thy word. Without sanctification, no man shall see the Lord. This is serious. Without sanctification, no man shall see the Lord. What is sanctification? How do we get sanctified? How do we know that we are sanctified? Sanctification is holiness, consecrated, set apart for sacred service. How do we get consecrated? What are we set apart from? We're set apart from the world. We're set apart from our flesh. We're set apart from false religion unto righteousness. So, Father, we just pray that you will just open our eyes, Lord. Father, that you will just show us, are we on the right path? Are we following man, or we are following you? Are we reading your word, eating the whole lamb? Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you just give us knowledge and wisdom in our walk. And show us, Lord, if we are not on the right path, if we're being led by emotions, if we're being distracted, if we're being deceived, if we've lost focus, if we've lost the fear of the Lord. So, Father, I just ask you just put in everyone's heart to seek you. If they don't have the fear of the Lord, that they will ask for the fear of the Lord. And they will understand sanctification and being set apart unto your glory. So, Father, we just thank you for this truth. Allow this seed to be planted and allow your truth to come forth. Bless the brethren. Bless the saints, Lord. We just thank you for this. Well, everybody, good night. I love you. I hope this blessed you. There's more to come.